What rites and rituals should Christians engage in? Hello, this is Good Word. I'm your host, David Thomas. I'm happy to be back again with my conversation partners, John Dibdall and Paul Dibdall, two individuals who have a long association with Walwal University School of Theology and also with the Scriptures. And gentlemen, today the lesson focuses on religious ritual. Certainly, if you look at religion across the wide spectrum of human experience, there are all kinds of rituals of various kinds. In fact, I don't think that they could be enumerated. Some of them are very simple. Some of them are very prolonged and complicated. I wonder if any of you would have any comments about the value and the place of ritual in religion. Anybody want to speak to that today?
Well, I would say, first of all, I was a little surprised to see the title of the lesson having to do with rites and rituals, because where I grew up, ritual had a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. And rites, the same way. Those two words both seem to have kind of a negative connotation. And so I was very surprised that they're in the lesson here that said, the church, rites and rituals. It's kind of like necessary, and we have those. And that's something different than I originally started out with. Now, I could say something more about that, but I'm just curious about what my friends here think about that issue.
No, of course, as your son growing up in your household, I guess it would be surprising that I got it from you, but I have that same sort of negative association with the words words, rites, rituals. That seems...
See, that's interesting, because I don't have that association in my life. No, no. I think that I have there's a negative response to overly elaborate and you know, rituals that I think it's hard to find biblical justification for. But I've always thought that there was some value to a ritual. Yeah. Or to a rite, and I think those words are almost synonymous.
For me, the negative connotation there is less overly elaborate and more just a kind of mindless, I do this because I've always done it, and I do it without thinking or without my heart. Mm-hmm. I think that's where the negative.
Yeah, well, even kind of a magical idea, you know, that if you do this rite, if you do this ritual, it'll work. It's kind of like pushing the buttons with God, you know, you do this. Yeah. So I have come later to say and to believe that, you know, there's value in rituals. And I think there's some very good things that we can learn in rites and rituals. I've kind of overcome a little bit of that negativity, but I would say that for my generation among Protestants, it's fairly common to have a somewhat negative view, even though it may not be right.
But, you know, it seems to me that one of the benefits of a ritual or a rite, and I'm using those words interchangeably at this point anyway, is that a ceremony of some kind tends to anchor or create a marker in life or in history that you can remember. For example, if you can remember the day of your baptism, for example, or if you have a wedding, I mean, what's the difference between getting married without a ceremony or with a ceremony? You could still say you're married.
Yeah.
But we tend to do something mm-hmm. that would be classified as ritualistic. I mean, we had weddings for so many years began with "Beloved, we are gathered here today," blah, 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 you know. And it's the recitation of those things that everybody says, oh yeah, we're at a wedding. Now, the mindless nature of some of these things, I share that concern, but I actually happen to think that we don't have enough rituals in our culture. I'm not talking about church necessarily, but I don't think we have enough rituals in our culture mm-hmm. To demarcate the passages through life.
Yeah, right. I agree.
I mean, what does it mean to be an adult today? We don't know.
Rite of passage.
No, you can be 40 years old and living in your parents' basements, and in most places you would be considered an adult by about age 20, but I would say how do we know where adulthood begins and mm-hmm. so forth? See, so. Mm-hmm. But anyway, to come back here, and John, you your comments awaken in my mind some thought about the historical battle between the word sacrament and the word ordinance. And I imagine many listeners don't know about this. I'll say a little bit more, is that The word sacrament actually comes originally from as a descriptor of the oath that a Roman soldier would take when declaring his obedience to his commander. And so it didn't really have any religious overtones. But by medieval times, that word had been taken over by the Christian church in a general way, and it was infused with the idea that a sacrament was a religious ritual that had some efficaciousness of its own, that by undergoing this ritual, you would benefit from whatever it was that it represented.
It made a difference.
Yeah. And of course, the word ordinance is a different word that came out of the Protestant Reformation, which was spent a lot of time debating the value of sacraments or the supernatural element of sacrament. And the word ordinance was used, especially in Protestant circles, to refer to symbolic or to events, rituals that had only symbolic value. They didn't have any inherent value of their own. So you'll find, I think that's probably partly where you're...
That's right.
...the discussion, because the word ritual and rite was usually associated with the word sacrament, not with the word ordinance.
Yes, No, yeah. I think you're right.
Mm. So what if we talked a little bit about the value of rituals, what rituals do you see advocated or required in the Bible?
You mentioned baptism.
Okay. What's baptism?
A central one.
Yeah.
What is
yeah,
baptism?
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about baptism. What is it? Why do Christians involve themselves in baptism? What's the history of it? Anything like that?
Well, the idea of a kind of a washing was, I should say it this way, because we could get, I guess, way too complicated. But baptism was known before Christianity came on the scene.
Yeah.
As a religious ritual or religious rite, it comes to be known, at least in Christianity, it is the ritual or the rite. Which word should I use? Either one.
Yeah.
Either one.
Okay.
Or both.
That marks the public sort of declaration or symbol that a person has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that is demonstrated by their being dipped, immersed in water, mm-hmm. as a sign of, if we were to go further, death to the old way of life, cleansing and rebirth mm-hmm. To a new way of life.
And reception of the Holy Spirit.
And yeah. The reception.
And it's also a rite of cleansing, and there are many rites of cleansing where you know, people wash themselves, they wash their houses. In this case, you wash symbolically your person of its sins, of your sins, yeah. It's also a commissioning to service, I think, according to the Book of Acts, is that you receive the Holy Spirit and you're on your way as a Christian soldier, if I may use that.
Sure.
So baptism is one, and you mentioned dipping.
The word baptism, the Greek word is, that's what it is literally describing.
And actually the symbolism of being washed clean, you don't want to be dipped like Achilles and have a piece of yourself, I mean, an immersion, a full cleansing.
We think the whole person has to go under. And I've seen several immediate rebaptisms when some part of the body didn't go down.
You mean during the actual ritual itself?
Yes, I've seen that happen.
Yes. That's interesting.
Yeah. Had a small pastor baptizing a very large lady, and he couldn't get her all the way under, so the elder said, "You got to do it again because she didn't go all the way under. She wasn't washed completely."
That's good. And of course, dying and being buried and rising to newness of life, which is a symbolic participation in the salvation experience of Jesus, is one here. What other rituals are advocated by Scripture? Baptism is a well-known one.
It's hard to say. I suppose you could say the Lord's Supper.
Okay.
That's about the only other one that I can think of when you say advocated by Scripture.
That's the point I'm raising.
Yeah,
and I'm not suggesting that humans cannot create rituals.
Yeah.
Okay, but I guess I'm asking which ones. And you said the Lord's Supper, which really involves what? What's the meaning of that? What's the significance of that?
Well, Jesus, the last night he was with the disciples, in connection with a meal— made statements about the symbolic nature of grape juice and bread, unleavened bread, and symbolically referred them to his death and said that his followers should do this until I come. Mm-hmm. So that seems to me to be a fairly clear indication that that's mm-hmm. to be done. It didn't say how often, and there's a big variety, a lot of variation in the church as to how often it's done or the understanding of the significance, but the fact of doing it is clearly mm-hmm. attested to in Scripture.
Yeah.
John 13 also mentions one that's not practiced by many Christians, is practiced by some, but the washing of feet.
Oh, okay. Jesus What's the significance of that, John?
Said to his disciples that now that we know these things, we'd be blessed if we do them. So there's, I guess that's a kind of...
There's three admonitions to do it.
To do that.
To wash feet. So what's that all about? What is washing feet all about? Is that to show that you're humble?
Yeah. Well, the significance there was Jesus showing the willingness to be a servant to his disciples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Symbolic of servanthood and also symbolic of washing.
Cleansing.
Rebaptism.
Yeah.
Renewal of baptismal vows.
Mm.
So you have washing, cleansing, and an act of service.
Yeah, yeah, I liked your point there about the foot washing is not an act of humility by a human being. It's a reminder of the act of humility of the Savior.
Of Jesus, yes.
That you could actually be very proud while washing somebody else's feet of the great deed of service.
You can be proud about your humbleness and your humbleness.
So, I mean, it's a reminder of the fact that Jesus, who was the Savior, stunned his disciples by doing the work of a servant.
That's right.
And left that as an example.
That's right. I think there are some others that, I don't know, we wouldn't need to argue necessarily about them, but that we can see hints in Scripture.
Okay.
I think baby dedication is one of those.
You mean bringing a child?
Children
okay.
and to a holy place, a kind of...
To petition for aid. Yeah,
for God's blessing and help. Yeah. I also think that having a fellowship meal is one that is actually quite frequently illustrated for us.
So what do you mean, a potluck dinner, or what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Just a meal where people get together and share food?
In the ancient world, to eat with somebody was a sign of acceptance of them. And so with baptism, it's not just a tangible illustration of, acceptance or birth into the family of God, in a spiritual sense, but then there is the meal, which is a tangible confirmation that indeed this person has been welcomed, has been accepted into the fellowship of believers. Very powerful.
And, I do agree that sharing a meal has powerful overtones. I've seen, for example, after a funeral where people share a meal, and it's amazing the healing and supporting effect that people can experience.
I think there should be more family rituals too. We've been talking about church rituals.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that families, to strengthen families, should have
rituals.
More family rituals. And if they're connected with God and with faith, it's a tremendous help.
Wow. Well, gentlemen, thank you. It would be interesting to explore the subject more, talking about the long-term effect of persistent participation in rituals like that. But thank you for your thoughts today. My thanks to Chad Ofterhaar, our faithful program engineer. We will be back again next week to talk about the law and the gospel, an interesting relationship. In the meantime, thanks for listening. For Good Word, I'm David Thomas.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.